Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
I often wonder, I had a teenage daughter, so I know exactly what it was like to watch her walk out the door dressed in a way that I thought, nope, this is probably not a good idea. Sometimes you say something, sometimes you get tired of saying something, but it's not only teenage daughters now, and it's not only going out with their friends or going to school, it's sometimes grown women going to church dressed in a way that, well, at least from a male perspective, and I can only speak from the male perspective, is a little too much, or perhaps in some cases, too little. It's a big question that I think the church needs to grapple with as the culture has more and more and more influence on what happens on Sunday morning, on what Christians actually think and believe. The culture says, if you've got it, then flaunt it. If you like the way you look and you want people to like the way you look, then show them how you look. The culture is, especially for women, sending the message loud and clear that if you look good, you should be proud of that, and you should show it off. But in church, what women wear is a big concern. Now, joining us for the remainder of the hour to talk about what women wear in church and to take your phone calls and your questions, Adrienne Dorr. She's editor of the Lutheran Witness magazine, and she's author of a recent blog titled Take My Jacket. Adrienne, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you for inviting me.
You raise the question about what women wear in church, and I think the first objection that people probably raise on the Christian side is, what does it matter what anyone wears as long as they're in church? What's your response?
Well, getting folks into church is absolutely the A1 priority. But once they're there, I think we as Christians, as Lutherans, have an opportunity to do some teaching, and we have an opportunity for some growth. So we would look to something like 1 Corinthians. It says all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. So just because we can wear something doesn't necessarily mean that we should or that the church is an appropriate place for it.
What do you think is the line here? Because many people, seeing that you've raised concerns about what women wear in church, are immediately going to say, well, you sound like you want women dressed in a jean skirt that goes to the floor and a bonnet every Sunday. What would you say?
Well, I don't think we need to go quite that far. I think having an understanding of modesty can sort of help to dictate how women dress. At the end of the day, modesty is dressing and carrying yourself in such a way that you don't cause offense or you don't act as a stumbling block to your neighbor. So that doesn't mean that you have to put on a burqa or dress in a similar fashion, but it does mean you need to be aware of the clothing that you have on and the effect that it can have on those around you.
Give us some specific examples.
Well, I think that a lot of women my age, I'm in my 20s, think that wearing their best to church means wearing what the culture says is best, and that's often provocative clothing. So just because the culture says you can wear this out on a Friday night or if you're out with your friends doesn't mean that when you show up to church, that same outfit is acceptable. You don't wear what you would wear to a club or out with friends into the divine service.
What is different about Sunday morning? I mean, obviously people are going to say, sure, the club on Saturday night and church on Sunday morning are obviously two different things. But what's different about Sunday morning in general from every other aspect of life? I mean, what you could or might wear to work, for example, might also, at least in the culture's eyes, be inappropriate for the divine service. What's different about the divine service?
Well, going to church and being in the divine service, that's the place where God comes to meet us, where heaven meets earth. So we don't dress like we do when we're out on a Friday night or we're lounging in yoga pants. We dress differently because this is a different kind of space, and things are happening in that service that are different from what happens out in the rest of the world. And so it may be that your business dress is completely acceptable for church. If that's your best, and if it's modest, and if you're covered up, that may be your best. But that needs to be dictated by your understanding of modesty and the effect that's going to have on the men around you.
Why zero in on women in particular for this issue?
Well, I'm speaking as a woman to women. I've had this conversation with several women my own age. It's something that we notice and that we think needs to be arrested. I think a lot of times women dress the way that they do, perhaps selfishly. They want attention. Perhaps it's because of insecurity and they want someone to tell them they look good. Perhaps they just don't understand at all. But calling this, what it is and bringing this conversation to light can only help by having discussions like this.
How do you respond to somebody, and I actually was looking at the comments on your blog post and came across this one several times. Look, if what I wear is a problem to the men around me in church, a temptation, if you will, that's their problem, not mine. How do you respond?
Well, certainly we don't let the men off the hook on this one. This isn't to say that they're not guilty, but at the same time, we would never want to be a stumbling block to your weaker brother. You would never want to wound someone else's conscience by what you're wearing. That's not how our life together in Christ works. So the men of the church can certainly pray for discipline and pray that when they see things they shouldn't, that they are not affected by it. But at the same time, women can step up to the plate and do their best to not put the men in that situation in the first place.
What kind of response have you gotten from pastors, generally speaking, to raising the issue of what women wear in church?
I think most of them have been pretty receptive to it, and it's actually a point of view I'd never considered before until a friend of mine who's a pastor brought it up. He said, men are men, and we're all sinners, and it can sometimes be disconcerting and unhelpful when a pastor goes to give a woman the Holy Communion or looks out into the congregation and sees something, he can be affected by it too. And so I think pastors have generally been pretty pleased with it because it calls to mind the fact that they need help too, and it's something we all need to be aware of.
So this is really about mutual consideration. Do you think women are realistically unaware of how they dress and how that may affect men around them?
I don't think they're unaware. I think it's pretty difficult for a woman not to know how a man's going to respond when she wears something. I think maybe the lack of understanding comes in when you begin to realize that maybe what you're wearing outside of church doesn't carry over to what you're wearing in church. And that's simply a function of teaching, of, mothers teaching their daughters and fathers helping to teach their daughters, a conversation that needs to be had in the home. I'll hear mom say, my daughter wore this outfit, and her dad said, you have to go back upstairs and change. My dad would have never let me buy that outfit in the first place. I never would have made it out the door. So it's a conversation that needs to start taking places in homes with women, with men, with the church in general.
So this applies to all ages. I noticed that when you were writing about this, you kind of addressed it to young, medium, old, all have their issues in this respect. Talk about that, if you would.
I think so. I think this is something that needs to be taught at an early age. And I know several moms wrote in and say it's difficult to find clothes for my daughter that are modest, that don't show things they shouldn't. And they're right. It is difficult. But if it's worth it to you, if it's important to you, I think teaching your daughters the necessity of covering up a bit at an early age is one that can be done. And that will perpetuate itself into adulthood.
So to take up the issue of showing too much cleavage, something like that, If it's inappropriate for church, for Sunday morning, is it also inappropriate for Christian women to show too much cleavage in public, outside of the Sunday morning service?
I would say that it is. Again, you are causing others who see you offense in that they are caused to sin by this. Men may see that and have lustful thoughts, sinful thoughts, and you never want to cause your Christian brother to stumble in that way. I think for me, I notice it in church because it's such a stark contrast. If we really believe that God is present, that he is there among us, that should be the first place that we should start to begin to understand why it's important to cover up a bit. And once we've got that in place, I think that will carry over into how we dress in the rest of life, too.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, a couple more questions for Adrian Dore on what women wear in church, and then I want to hear from you. We'll take your questions for the remainder of the hour on that subject. Do you agree or disagree with Adrian's concerns? Do you share those, or do you have others of your own? I wonder if women have any concerns about how men dress in church. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. We're talking about what women wear in church. Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support issues, etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included issues, etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry. And we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and issues, etc., is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues, etc. 300.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Is the abortion pill safe?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Is RU486, the so-called abortion pill, as safe as its supporters assert? The answer is no. But thanks to Monty Patterson, more people are becoming aware of the risks. Monty's daughter took the pill to end an unplanned pregnancy. It killed her. He investigated the drug and found that it had also killed a woman during its test trials. Outraged, Monty demanded changes. In response, the FDA has finally mandated that a warning be placed on the drug's label. He has also set up a website explaining the health risks associated with RU486. It's abortionpillrisks.org.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
We're talking about what women wear in church with Adrian Dore, editor of the Lutheran Witness magazine, author of a recent blog post titled Take My Jacket. It's Thursday afternoon, December the 1st. I want your questions and comments on this. I especially want to hear from women, but I'd like to hear from the men as well. 1-877-623-6943. Do you share some of Adrian's concerns about what women wear in church, or do you disagree? Does anybody have any concerns about what men wear in church? For some reason, men just can't reach the level of provocation that women can. And men and women look at this somewhat differently. 1-877-623-6943. Leave a question, a comment, or a reaction at our Facebook fan page as well. Facebook.com/issuesetc, or send us an email right here in the studio. talkback@issuesetc.org. Adrian, you raise one other almost equally controversial question with regard to this issue that overlaps with it, nursing mothers in church. What are your concerns there?
Nursing is not wrong. I think some people thought that's perhaps what I was saying. Nursing in and of itself is a natural, beautiful, God-given gift. But so is a husband and a wife having intercourse. That's natural and beautiful and a gift God gives to couples. But we would never condone that taking place in public. So just because something is natural or it's normal or it's the way God created the human body doesn't mean that it's helpful. So I think women need to be aware that even though what they're doing is what their body was created to do, it doesn't mean that the people who see it, the men who see it, aren't affected by it. And that's something I've seen often in churches. I've seen it at the seminaries. And I think at that point, the husband needs to be able to step in and say to the wife, just because that's a maternal, natural thing doesn't mean that the rest of the church needs to see it taking place. So toss a blanket over your shoulder. Be discreet about it. It's easy to do. I think there's an easy solution there to fix that.
Okay, let's see what our listeners think. 1-877-623-6943. What women wear in church, or sometimes what they don't wear in church, do you have concerns about as well? If you've been a churchgoer for many years and seen the fashions and the standard there change, what are your concerns? 1-877-623-6943. We're coming to you live this Thursday afternoon, December the 1st. 1-877-623-6943, or Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesETC. All right, Adrian, Brenda in Oregon says, I try to wear dresses and skirts to church, but it is hard to find suitable lengths. I'm tall. I was one of those moms in the denim jumpers back in the 80s and 90s when my kids were at home. Two daughters, try to be modest, but it sometimes isn't that successful. I think most parents don't check their kids out enough. I know my mom let loads of stuff slide by. Just has to be taught and practiced. You can't just drag it out for Sunday only. I hope that your program reflects this idea. What do you say? What do you say to her, Adrian?
Well, I can certainly sympathize with her. I'm 5'10", and it is not easy to find modest clothing for tall girls, but it is possible. With a little bit of time and a little bit of effort, it's certainly something that you can do. I do agree with her point that this is something that needs to start in the home. I think that parents need to have this discussion with their children. You know, we talk about what men wear to church, what boys wear to church. Some of the T-shirts that you see guys show up with should not be in church. They've got writing on them that's unhelpful, all sorts of things. So they're right in that. You know, it's something that needs to start in the home. I think fathers can be very influential in this, in helping their daughters. I think mothers can help guide this as well. But once it starts in the home, once that discussion begins, it's going to be a lot easier on Sunday morning to get your child into something that's appropriate for church.
Doug in Wisconsin says, one of the reasons that we started attending a Lutheran church was because there were less distractions in worship. Many churches we attended had worship teams with women dressed to catch a man's eye more than to glorify God. I'm primarily speaking of the overly tight, overly revealing clothing. However, there still is a problem in the Lutheran congregation itself, especially in the summer. But tight clothing is found all year round. If you say something, you're a legalist. And if you say nothing, you struggle with temptation. It would be encouraging to men if we could have one day and one place, in addition to our home, where we wouldn't have to view scantily clad women in tight clothing. Ladies don't realize that tight clothing gives an imprint of a naked body. Even if there is modesty in church, it is lost at the beach, and sometimes I sarcastically say it's easy to get a Christian girl naked. Just invite her to the beach. It's important for men to be modest as well. He says, I've taught modesty in our home to our children, but I haven't heard a message about modesty in 30 years in church. Modesty has been mentioned a couple times, but with so little detail, it benefits no one. Telling someone to be modest is one thing. Describing modesty is another. May God restore purity to our churches. What are your thoughts?
Well, I agree. It's difficult. I think we have gotten to the point in this culture where we feel like if we speak up or if we say something, that the response will be, well, it's me, it's my body, I can do what I want to. But as Christians, we are to be concerned about one another. We are to call each other out if we need to. We correct in love. It's not done to be snarky. It's done to be helpful. And so if you are a man who's tempted by what a woman's wearing, I don't think it's wrong to say something to her. I'm a big proponent of men being the ones to stand up and say, we struggle with this and we need your help. You know, men can be honest about it. It doesn't mean that they're tactless, but they can go up to women and say, listen, I'm a sinner, I struggle with impure thoughts, and I need your help. And one way you can help me is by covering up a bit so that when I see you, whether it's in church or on the street, I see a sister in Christ and not something else.
He raises the issue of tight clothes because, your general theme is cover up where things are exposed. But sometimes everything can be covered up, but in such a fashion as to, well, sometimes be more revealing and provocative than if it wasn't.
That's true. I mean, you think of David and Bathsheba. All he had to do was to see a form of a woman, and he was done for. So women, if they can get in the mindset that dressing and carrying yourself in a way that won't elicit that response, I think that will start to form how they pick and choose their clothes. We're inundated with advertising and friends and the world around us that says you wear what makes you feel good. And for a woman, oftentimes, wearing tight clothes can make you feel confident. But just because you feel good doesn't mean that it's helpful to others.
Can you speak to something that he raises in that comment, where he kind of adds another factor in here? It's not just women in church that may be dressing provocatively, but in a lot of churches, those women are up on a stage, sometimes, what do you call it, dancing, performing. And they don't pick the ugly girls to do that, Adrian. They generally pick the best-looking ones. Sometimes I think they pick them because they're good-looking. How does that change the dynamic there, especially when then the music is there to kind of stir up the animal beat and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, well, it elicits an emotional response. I mean, there's a lot of factors at play there. I mean, I can't speak to the motives of all these women, but I can't believe that they're not unaware of what they're doing. I think that some women may be insecure, some may be just plain selfish and they want the attention. I think most of them know that they're making men uncomfortable or evoking some sort of feeling inside of them, but they honestly just don't care. And so women are sinners. We get it wrong. We need to pray for repentance on those things. But like with all things, we fail and we pick ourselves up and we go forward. You know, if you're driving and you take a wrong turn, you don't throw up your hands in despair and say, well, I'm just going to go ahead and get lost. You correct yourself. And so as Christian ladies, if we screw up or if we've got a wardrobe that's unhelpful, we try again and we aim to fix it. And we move forward in faith and in forgiveness that the Lord will help us with this.
Ivan listens in Winter Haven, Florida. He sounds a bit exasperated. He says, why on Sunday mornings during worship do I find women dressed in tight skirts, dresses, revealing, and low tops? What do you honestly think that they are thinking when they choose to dress that way for worship on the Lord's Day? I mean, you've spoken here about women being sinners. Do you think it's simply going along with the culture's standard, or do you think women are saying, well, I like the way I look, I want everybody else to like the way I look too?
It's probably a combination of the two, and that's why I would encourage the men to get involved in this discussion. Men are to be the spiritual head, the spiritual leaders, and they're to call their wives and their daughters, mothers and sisters, out when they've done something that's wrong or sinful or unhelpful. And so if the women can't see it, or if they do see it and they choose to ignore it, I think it's up to the men of the church to say, you're in error here, and let's find a way to fix it.
Adrian Dorr is our guest. She's editor of the Lutheran Witness magazine. We're talking about what women wear in church. I invite your questions and comments as well. We'll take a break, but this break is a great time to give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. If you disagree, feel free to chime in, also at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. TalkBack@issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc. We're talking about what women wear in church. Do you agree or disagree that it's gone too far and it's time for women to loosen up and to cover up? 1-877-623-6943. I especially want to hear from the women. Do you have concerns about this as well? I was thinking just a minute ago, a great time, this may be a terrible idea. I don't know if I have the guts to try it. A great time for the pastor to address this issue on a Sunday morning with a lot of women in there. Talk to the women about modesty. Mother's Day. probably get kicked out of the church. We'll be right back.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among His people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, etc.
How is it that many of the champions of the Great Commission actually deny what the Great Commission says? I've written part two of the Not So Great Commission for the latest Issues, etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Ellie Caro writes about the uncertainty of personal moral improvement and the certainty of the external promises of God. The online Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
And I'm too sexy for your party, too sexy for your party, the way I'm disco dancing.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about what women wear in church. Adrian Dore of Lutheran Witness Magazine is our guest. 10 more minutes for your questions or your comments. We got a new Issues Etc. book of the month because December just started today, and it's a great one. It comes from, he's rapidly becoming one of my favorite guests, Dr. Scott Murray of Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, who you've heard frequently here as a guest, has compiled the Church Fathers surrounding the theme of the church year for daily meditation. The book is called A Year with the Church Fathers, Meditations for Each Day of the Church Year. You know, there have been books like this that deal with the writings of Luther and other great theologians of the past. This one goes deeper into history, back to the Church Fathers themselves. You will be stunned to find out how these church fathers so often and so early articulated the truths of the 16th century Reformation, like grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone, and especially Christ alone. Find out more about A Year with the Church Fathers, Meditation for Each Day of the Church Year by Dr. Scott Murray by going to our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find the book of the month on every page of our website, or call Concordia Publishing House and order A Year with the Church Fathers, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Let's go to the phones. Mike in Kansas City is waiting on the line. Mike, welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor Wilkin. I wish people listening would consider supporting Issues, et cetera. It's a great resource. And ma'am, I really appreciate the topic. This is a problem that I have had in church service, the one we're currently attending, a confessional Lutheran church. My wife and I have talked about it, and we also have a young daughter, and we're going to have to, you know, these are the kind of examples that's going to be set for my daughter as she gets older. But even though I agree with you, I don't know how you could really enforce something like this, and here's the reason that even suggest it to our pastor. And normally I would agree with you, Pastor Wilkin. It would be interesting to have that kind of a thing on Mother's Day, because in the evangelical church you always hear the fathers criticized on Father's Day, but on Mother's Day you never hear the mothers being criticized. However, I don't think that's a good idea, and here's the reason. You know, in the evangelical church that I came from, pastors were always on these moral or political crusades. And if you go into an evangelical church today, you'll rarely get the gospel. What you'll get is a moral or political crusade from your pastor. I think our pastors should be kind of kept out of the loop on this. My approach would be speak to your elder if there's a particular person that's dressing provocatively. Maybe the elder would know the family, could talk to the family's, you know, father or mother or whoever's you know, maybe dressing inappropriately. But my whole point is I would really like to keep the pastors out of this unless it is absolutely blatant sin.
All right, Mike, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in Kansas City. Adrian, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think one of the groups of people in the church that is probably quite underutilized are our older women. I think that they can go a long way in being helpful in this regard, in that sometimes it's easier for a woman to start a conversation with another woman. So perhaps it's your grandmother in your church, perhaps it's your deaconess in your church, but if someone feels uncomfortable having a pastor start that discussion, I think that we can go to our mature older women who can be very helpful in this regard in teaching us, those of us who are younger, what a modest woman looks and dresses and acts like.
Rose listens in Secor, Illinois. Thank you for waiting, Rose.
Hi, thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate this topic being covered. I appreciated the different areas of sin that creep into this when immodesty is at hand, and I thought there were a couple of other areas that could maybe be highlighted as well. The first is that women also struggle when they see others dressed in scantily clad, because women are often tempted to covet their neighbor's body in those instances. So another sin that's going on is just not only a man being led into sexual temptation, but also a woman wishing she had the same figure or appearance of her neighbor, which is another layer of sin. And another that I considered was that in the case of the person who's dressing immodestly, it's probably pretty likely that she is thinking of herself more highly than she ought. And that, of course, is a violation of God's word in Scripture, and it's another issue with the sin of vanity or conceitedness. So there are just a lot of areas here that can be affected by this, and so that's why I think it's such a useful topic for us to think about and talk about.
Rose, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in Illinois. I always say, smartest listeners in radio. What do you think about her analysis there of both coveting and pride at work?
I agree. Like I mentioned before, I think a lot of this is based in selfishness. You know, I fall prey to this too. If I go out on a date with a guy or if I go out with friends, as a sinner, I want to look good. I want to feel confident. So I may wear something that gets attention because ultimately, it makes me feel good about myself. And as Rose mentioned, that's vanity, pure and simple, and it's a sin that, like any other, needs to be repented of.
Okay. What do you say to someone, and this comes from David in Michigan, who says, I'm more concerned that all people are in church rather than what they are wearing. What do you say to that?
Well, it is important that they're in church, obviously. And when we talk here about the people who struggle with this kind of thing, we're talking big picture. Obviously, there are going to be situations where a person, you know, I go to an inner city church. We've had people who have come in before drunk off the street in sweatpants. Obviously, this is not a huge priority for them. But for the average Lutheran in the average church, I think it's something that we can teach people. If we're sinning unnecessarily, why wouldn't we want to find a way to repent of that and to fix it and move forward?
Richard in Louisiana says, isn't perception a problem in this issue? I've had older women comment about the provocative dress of some younger women, but to my eye, there was nothing provocative in the way they were dressed. I see a danger along the lines of who makes the call when it comes to dress.
Well, that's understandable, and I think oftentimes people want sort of a laundry list. You know, is this skirt okay? Is this blouse all right? And we can't come up with an exhaustive list that will provide an answer for every situation. But we can try to avoid extremes and to use our good common sense.
Carl and Nancy in Brandon, South Dakota say, I wonder if part of the problem is with what people wear in church is because of the belief in the real presence of God in that place. There's a general lack of healthy fear of God among people today. Is it a problem of reverence, do you think?
I think that it can be. I think if we honestly believed that God was there to meet us in the divine service, we'd probably be shaking in our boots. And so, yeah, I think there's definitely something to that, and it should cause us, before we walk out the door on Sunday morning, to think twice about what we've got on or don't have on.
Keith in Joliet, Illinois says, please be careful in addressing this topic as it tends to easily become legalistic in nature. How do we avoid that?
Well, as I said before, it's, you know, you can't come up with a list, but you can pray for a modest attitude, which I think is one that will develop to the point where you realize when what you're wearing causes offense. So he's right. We can't be legalistic. We can't keep people out of church if they're wearing something in that sense. But we can promote a healthy, modest attitude in our young women.
Okay, Adrian, does it work the other way? I got to know, because I wouldn't know. Are there instances where men can dress immodestly in church and thereby fire the lusts of women? I know if there's a guy walking in with the Stetson and cowboy boots, you'd probably be drooling.
Good point. We should probably leave those elsewhere. Well, I think it's probably more difficult for men than it is for women, simply because men are created to respond to the female body. And I happen to think that there are parts of the female anatomy that only a woman's husband and her doctor should see. But that doesn't mean that we're immune from temptation, and so certainly I think you know, women can be on the receiving end of that as well. So, you know, like I mentioned before, there are sometimes things that are written on clothing, or, you know, you've got guys wearing jeans that are sagging. There are all sorts of things. So certainly they need to be aware of this as well.
Adrian Dorr is editor of the Lutheran Witness magazine. She's author of a recent blog post titled Take My Jacket. You'll find a link to this blog post and to the Lutheran Witness magazine under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Adrian, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Pastor Heath Curtis about 8th century hymn writer and defender of icons. He's called the Last Father, John of Damascus. We'll also find out from Suzanne Venker why marriage eludes the modern woman when they've been more primed for marital bliss, more opportune for marital bliss than any other time in our history. We'll also play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. Today is the very first day of December, and we have 30 days in order to make budget for the year. Now, we're currently just under $67,000 short of making that budget for the year. You can help. And now is the time to do it in the next 30 days. No gift is too small. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org, or you can make your donation by check. Just make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. Send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thank you in advance for your support, for thinking of us, for listening, and for remembering our needs here at Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio at the end of 2011. This is part of being fallen people. And that's why God gave us clothes in the first place, to cover up our nakedness and our shame. We could be legalistic, or we could say, let's remember what we're in church for, to receive the forgiveness of sins and to be in the presence of that forgiving Christ and dress appropriately. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.